And let's get it live. Welcome live. Back to everyone's favorite podcast, obviously. This one is brought to you by Wall Facial Trimmers. Can you believe we have such heavy hitting sponsors already? Wall Facial Trimmers, for everyone just listening, because probably nobody is wasting their time watching this on YouTube. Although it is on YouTube, if you want to watch, you can. I've joined the X-Men. I'm Wolverine's half brother. Totally not. I have nowhere near the amount of money that Hugh Jackman has. And
yeah, you're the long lost brother that left home.
Hey. I could be the sister. Or the sister.
You could be one of them.
We're switching it up this week, and we're gonna hit it hard with the caffeine instead of the Modelos. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, those Modelos are nice, but just not at 9:30
a.m.
in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
9:30 at night, great. Mm-hmm. 9:30 in the morning, not so much.
Yeah, maybe 9:45.
Well, so this is the part where I should have probably queued up one of the Bomb With Me clips. So we're just going to keep teasing it. I do a little stand-up comedy. And, you know, we're going to watch me do it, but not this time.
No, you'll have to wait. You'll have to come back next week.
Yeah, if we tease it enough and don't actually produce any content, I hear that's how you're supposed to do this.
Just keep teeing it up. Just constant tease.
That's right. we have some fun ideas. Do you want to kick it off with the ChatGPT joke writing contest and then punch up, or do you want to catch everybody up on? Ooh, how about congratulations on getting a real job again?
Oh, I got a job. Ooh. I got a job. I have been unemployed since June 7th.
It is hard out there. Not as hard as these chops, but it's hard out there.
It's tough. Yeah. Tech industry is where I lie. And the hardest thing is really just explaining what I do to the world, because nobody really understands.
Yeah, when we were first dating, and I asked you what you do, you said, oh, I'm in B2B marketing, which I know what that is. That's business to business. Some people say belly to belly.
What?
Yeah, belly to belly.
Was that a Google search result? You're like, oh, shit. What's,
you know,
B2B?
What, actually, come to think of it, it was a guy in the weed industry that said that to me one time a long time ago. So,
from one belly to another belly?
Belly to belly or business to business. He just said belly to belly is one of the things that they say.
That's different.
As a reference to B2B.
That sounds kind of gay.
Oh, yeah, B2B marketing. Is that belly to butt?
They're both gay.
Butts to bellies.
Butt to butt.
It's like the G version of nuts to butts. So anyway, congratulations on...
Got a job. It's a contract position, but could be full-time. And then there's another one. They're just lining up, guys. Here's the secret. You just have to stop trying and let it go. Put the effort out there and then just let it go, and then it'll come.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's the secret. I think that the secret is really that you tried really, really hard for a long time. And then
I let go.
The rule is... when it rains, it pours with stuff like this. So it makes perfect sense that you would get like 18 offers in one day, and then you have to choose between some really good options.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do when you're on your period.
It's true. I have big time girl brain still. It might be better in a couple of days.
Yeah, we're not expecting much out of you today.
I've got lots of jokes that the bot wrote.
I'm hoping that my beard will carry this one. Brought to you today by Marvel comic book.
I don't know if people can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you can see it from the side. It is. Let me just look at the view here. I mean, whoa. It looks good with my nose, my big nose and the big chops. Mm. Yeah. You were saying if I had this on our first date that it would have been love at first.
I don't know how, because I just remember my first thought of you. Also, by the way, we are celebrating being together for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are not sure the date. It's somewhere in it around now.
Nor do we like the word anniversary.
Yeah, so just a year. The yearly.
Right.
We're celebrating.
Our per yearly, annum.
Our per annum celebration.
Yeah. Our GDP.
But I just remember the first thought when I saw you, I was just thought you were so handsome. I'm like, oh, I even think I told you because you were wearing a shirt that matched your eyes.
Oh, you think you mentioned that you thought I was handsome?
I think I did.
You
I?
Did. You mentioned that my eyes matched my shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I said you were handsome.
You might have. I know. I think you texted me after telling me how handsome I am.
Mm-hmm. She is a handsome woman.
Oh, God.
Speaking of B2B and the weed world, we could, but do you want to get into the jokes or should we tell about my weed meeting that I had?
Let's tell about the weed meeting. I feel like this is more for like deeper.
A little further in? Okay.
Yeah.
So I had a couple meetings this week. One of them about building stuff. That's pretty easy. And one of them was a little backpedal into my old career, my last old career. I did like 12 years in the weed industry. I was a grower in California, and then I was a grower in Arizona and other stuff too. Damn, I heard, you know what's funny is I was listening to Matt McCusker on his podcast, and he said something that struck a key with me this week. He said, I was selling weed embarrassingly recently. I think he's my same age, 45. And I was like, oh yeah, no, I also was embarrassingly recently selling marijuana. Mm-hmm. Legally or illegally, you know, that sort of remains to be, you know, it's up for discussion whether it was legal or not.
That's our business.
Yeah. I mean, until the government makes it their business too, then you're sort of, I mean, it could be anybody's business depending on who gets involved.
It's true. It's true.
So anyway, in the cabin rehabbing project, I just got back from 2 months up in Greer working on that old cabin. I think we mentioned maybe on the last one, but it's a 100-year-old cabin, 2 months hanging out in the woods. And I meet a guy having food like right at the end. I go to the XA, shout out XA bar in Springerville. Mm-hmm. Everyone should go.
Yeah, great
anyway,
bar food.
And I sit, and this guy sits next to me, and we just sort of, you know, start chatting. I think we were flirting. And
now the truth comes out. What really happened?
Yeah, this weed meeting, a weed meeting, in quotes. No, so we start chatting, and we talk a little bit about, oh, how'd you get here? What do you do? You know, that's what guys do. I don't even know if he has a wife or if he's happy. We just talk about what kind of work you do. And we were talking about my, I don't care.
Are you satisfied with the decisions you made in your life up to now?
I feel like girls talk to each other about happiness and personal growth, and guys sort of skim right over that and get right to how can I benefit from knowing this person? How can I personally, can I make money off of this guy?
Yeah, I don't know. My conversations with my girlfriends are different depending on the girlfriend I'm talking mm-hmm. to and what we talk about.
Gotcha.
And complain about and who gets to talk about who.
And for how long.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, some friendships, I'm just a listener all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but actually not so much anymore.
Yeah.
A pretty good balance. Anyways, I'm hijacking your story.
No, that's okay. I was just, while you were hijacking it, I just was noticing how far away from the mic you keep getting.
That's my goal.
Get into the micro. Why are you even here?
Like playing Matrix with a microphone.
So anyway, guys, let me tell you about this story that I have. Yeah. Maybe if you look away from the camera too at the same time, that'll really put things into perspective for everyone. So anyway, I go down. Oh no. So I'm sitting and talking to this guy, Tommy Chapas. He has such a weed name too. And he starts telling me
your name should be Tommy Chapas.
My name's Ray Stone.
With this new beard.
It doesn't get any Tommy Choppers.
Tommy Choppers. Sorry. Talking to Tommy Chapas.
Tommy Choppers.
Sir Chopper.
Like the book Tommyknockers, which is a Stephen King book.
Is it?
I believe so. Tommyknockers, yeah. So anyway, I'm sitting, having beers, eating some food, talking to Tommy Chapas, and he goes down this rabbit hole of how he's got $100,000 outlaid into a weed edibles line, which is he says it's a spray. And I think he's saying he's got an inhalant, something that you can inhale, because if you made like a little inhaler that works like an asthma inhaler that hit like weed when you smoke it, because weed when you smoke it hits immediately because you heat it up, you decarboxylate it. Everybody knows that word at this
point. Everyone's turning the podcast off now.
Yeah. Okay. Getting back to decarboxylate. Can you tell I tried some weed today?
Big word.
So it hits differently. The point is weed that you smoke hits very quickly, and then weed that you eat, everyone knows, takes forever to come on, or however long it takes. And then you're just like, I can't eat weed. And I had an edibles company, and it makes me feel anxiety in the middle of the night. I'm really unhappy. I feel like I'm having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he tells me that they've got some scientist and they've got this amazing product. And he says it's nanotech. And I go, I know a little bit about nano. What do you know about it? And he says, I know nothing. And he basically is just worried that his $100,000 is gone, which at this point I'm like, yeah, it's gone. Like, if you don't know how the weed industry works, it works like this. Mm-hmm. I promise you something. You don't look into my background and history. You give me a grip of money for the promise of way more money coming back to you. And then I just take your money and I put it into something else that I want to do. And then you can call me as much as you want. I'll just keep telling you a new story about something else. And so he's telling me this story of his, and it reminds me of my story, which is we invested in a couple of guys and they fucked up so hard. They built a company that was working, but they really were using it to like funnel weed in from out of state and didn't tell the investors. And so turns out that's what the accounts were all about. And I'm like, I'm hearing Tommy talk. And I'm remembering my experience, and I'm starting like sweat in my armpits just thinking about these fuckers.
Yeah, you're getting flashbacks.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say hot flashes. Yeah, I'm getting those too. So I say, all right, well, I'll tell you what. I can definitely help you figure out if your money is doing anything or if it's totally gone if we meet with your guy who has the stuff, who's like the scientist guy that's making the stuff. So he goes, okay, that'd be great, actually. I'd love to find out. And I said, and furthermore, I had one product that we hadn't brought to the market yet. We can like use that as the cover story for why I'm down there meeting with you guys so that he doesn't, you know, get offended that you're trying to figure out if he stole from you, essentially. So it was like this perfectly good plan, which does fall apart at the very end. I love that I fucking stepped all over that plan right at the end, but it's okay because it was already over. Anyway, so I go down and I meet with these guys, and this dude is your typical weed guy. A weed guy knows everything about everything, knows more than you, is gonna swear a lot, and is going to say a bunch of words that he hopes are good, but the vocabulary is not. What did he say? He used the word, he said, my philanthropy. pissed guys, meaning he was trying to say my investors, but investors want money. Philanthropists give money. This is a different thing, like 100%. But this is how weed culture works. Yeah. They try to seem smart, but probably they just use too much weed and then they're going to lose your money, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm down there trying to figure out what's going on. And the bottom line is, are you linked with a dispensary? Because if you're not, you can't sell in Arizona. That's how the law is written. Unless you can be a caregiver where you're growing far enough away from a dispensary that you can bring it in, and that's still legal. But otherwise, you have to have a license to either grow or distribute. And it's all under one. So I get down there, and first of all, the guy introduces himself as Juice because his product is called The Juice, and he's got a nano product. Now, nano is where they break it down into little teeny tiny pieces, and then it floats in the water, and there's no such thing as water-soluble oil. You can't have them. They don't exist. Mm-mm. You have oil and water, and everyone knows they don't mix. But you can break it down into little teeny tiny pieces and get those little teeny tiny pieces to float in the water through a process known as emulsion. So this guy starts telling me he's got water-soluble product. I said, well, so the first thing I notice is you can't actually have that. It is scientifically impossible. To which he then replies how stupid basically I am and that his scientist knows everything. And I'm like, yeah, but we're talking chemistry. This is, you can't tell me something exists that can't exist and then tell me that I'm dumb. So I'm like being gaslit on minute one into this meeting as he's sitting there telling me he's judging my posture, like asking me, he thinks I'm trying to get something from them. So at this point I'm like, okay, this guy is a typical weed guy. He's in a different business, but he's trying to cover for the fact that he knows he has lost his buddy's $100,000 that's sitting right there.
Who's sitting there, yeah.
And the bullshit meter is in the red the whole time for me. And when that bullshit meter is pinging in the red, I'm going to like, at some point, I'm going to like pull the veil and you're just going to, everyone's going to see, you know, that it's all gone. And I mean, basically, if a weed guy, if you want to get into the weed business, don't listen to a guy who's asking you for money. That's it.
Who's got some great ideas.
And they're all going to ask you for money. And he's making this product with a sonicator. And the sonicator leaves metal pieces in it. There's a better way to do it, mm-hmm. which he didn't know about. But his way is a $15,000 way or a $5,000 way. The better way is way more expensive. It's $150,000 for the big machine that does it the right way without leaving the metals in it. And he didn't know about it. And I'm just like, this is exactly what happens. Somebody wants to get into weed. They think they know something, but they don't do the rest of the research. That's what our problem was. We didn't do the research on the guys. And we lost, I mean, the group of investors lost a little over $1 million on my team. Not, I didn't do it. I tried to save it and almost saved it, but it didn't work. Anyway, these guys are smart guys. Insurance, big insurance brokers, big real estate broker, one of the largest firms in Arizona was on my partner list. And they all lost money because all you've got to do is show that you raised a little bit of, okay, Ponzi scheme 101. I'm going to show you, this is how you do it. You get one sucker to bring in another sucker, my buddy, for 200 grand. That's all you need to start with. And then you can use that $200,000 to raise more money from as many partners as you want by shaking the stick and showing, look, I've got this 200 grand. We're already doing this. We just need a little bit more, but we need a lot more. And then you take that money, because that money is your money now, and then you go build whatever you wanted to build in Oregon.
And some might call this a scam.
Yeah, it's Ponzi. How to Ponzi.
How to Ponzi and scam. And let me tell you,
I've got that. Okay, so I've been hogging. So let's move to Chad know?
Wait, well, hold on a second. You didn't finish the story. What happened at the very end?
Oh, that right.
That was like the crux of
okay.
it. Yeah.
So,
because it was a heated conversation. First of all, I'm a pretty good listener sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't always get through. And I didn't realize that this was a cover-up story for you to go in there. Like, you kind of told me, but wasn't really sure. Mm-hmm. Knew it was a big thing. But it was, I didn't realize how heated it was going to be.
Well, it was, like, it wasn't supposed to be heated. It really was supposed to just be, oh, hey, you guys, what's your product? Who are you linked with? And what's the distribution plan? Because those are the mm-hmm. only three questions that really need to be answered. And if so, he had the product, but he's linked with nobody. So you can't sell. So your plan is you're fucked. And he wanted to go to California. That's their next plan, which is a totally saturated market. But
that's right,
yeah. So
it's
moving.
So dumb.
The whole thing was for me to try to help Tommy figure out if his money is actually doing something or if it's gone. But during the little meeting, it went for 2 hours, and it was 2 hours of this guy kind of bullshitting his way instead of just saying outright. I mean, he did all the classic things. He talked about how he lost sleep and how he still thinks about it. And how he's still upset and how he got took to
juice.
Yeah, juice. But really his buddy who was sitting there next to him all quiet, I could just, you know, you can hear him going, oh yeah, the money is gone and I'm never going to get it back. And then during the conversation, there was a part where Juice does have another line into another guy in California who's a part of them, who's a Mason and a Shriner. And so Juice is also a Mason and a Shriner. And he's saying that due to the brotherhood of this club, that's going to keep him. I'm like, does he have like paperwork to say that he's a Mason and a Shriner? Because, you know, that's how a lie works.
You asked him that?
No, I didn't. I should have.
Oh, really? Does he have papers? Let's see his papers.
I would. Yeah. I mean, I said, look, if you're going to try something, you have to be involved is the bottom line. And that's really at the end of the day, a reputable person who you're going to get into business with in weed or not, you get to be a part of it. If you're going to put your money in, I mean, if you want to guard your money, you have to like have your eyes on it. So I said, you know, you guys need a product that's unlike anything else, which I came up with one, and I don't want to just feed it out here on the podcast, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. K-cups.
No,
oh, I'm
no.
doing it. Imagine weed K-cups. If we see those now.
Oh, that idea.
Well, no, it was my idea.
Yeah. Yeah. You always have good ideas. I didn't know which one you were going to share.
Nano weed K-cups. So anyway, at the end of it, I'm walking out and walking to my truck, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't even need to call Tommy. He knows that the money's gone. Mm-hmm. And the guy, Juice, yells, hey, sorry we couldn't sell your product for you, which caught me off guard because that wasn't my main, that was the cover story, sort of. And so I just off the cuff yell back, that's not even why I was here anyway. And he goes, oh, were you just trying to figure out if I'm full of shit? And I was like, I'm just talking shit. See ya. And he popped in the truck and left. And it was like, oh, I totally just. And they work together. That's the best part.
Yeah.
Like in their real company, those guys work together. So
the way that I picture this meeting is like two alpha guys just really trying to figure each other out at this table. And then a third guy who's
beta.
Just kind of like meek and, you know, really the true victim here.
You got it right. Yeah. We were fighting over his remains.
Yeah. You're like the hero trying to, you know, save Tommy Chapa. Uh-huh. Yeah. And the other guy's the villain, clearly trying to steal all of his money.
Come, Tommy, I'll save you. Oh, my gosh. I got my Wolverine chops. I could save mm-hmm. anybody right
you
now.
You do have some Wolverine chops.
Okay, so I've hogged the shit out of it. We got to move into the Chat GPT. So we've got a fun idea. Chat GPT, everyone says that Chat's going to take over all of our jobs. I call him Chad, by the way.
Chad
CBD is going to take everyone's job. But the one thing I think is safe is comedy. Because I don't think, so here's what, like, I don't think ChatGPT will ever understand why a good old-fashioned speech impediment is funny. Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
yeah, what's your
like,
I don't want to say it. It's your joke. I want to say it though.
Like, ChatGPT is never going to know why it's funny that if you ask me what my favorite colors are, I tell you they're red, brown, and green.
It's so cute. It's not, at least not ChatGPT of today. Maybe, you know, in the future, yeah, it'll be more.
No, it doesn't understand why it tickles. See, because you can't tickle ChatGPT. Like, you can try. I wonder, you'd probably get arrested for it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we are challenging ChatGPT to write blue jokes, like a, you know, like a non-woke joke, mm-hmm, on a current event. And here's what we got. Take it away.
So I want to do a little bit more build up. So I've been obsessed with politics, as I usually do get obsessed about every 4 years. And I've been listening to a lot of independent news sources on YouTube and really seeing things in a different light. And the world we live in is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm not a joke writer, but I do like jokes. So my goal is I want to see if I can train the bot to actually write good jokes over, like, the ridiculous stuff that I keep learning about that's going on in modern day society.
Real world, taking the real world incidents and then seeing if ChatGPT can.
And the reason why, like, I bring up the politics is because, like, news media likes to take hot topics and make them political. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I have a few. Some are good, some are not good. They might be a little bit outdated because I've been like taking notes over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and then we're going to punch them up. And we want people to try to punch them up on their own and send over ideas. You can send over ideas to bombwithmecomedy@gmail.com. So the section that's going to be bomb with me is, you know, I'm bombing on stage like crazy. But this can also be a part of the bomb with me section. So if you have an idea for how to punch up this joke, send it to bomb with me and we'll maybe, if they're good enough, we'll go back through and redo some of the old ones with the new jokes from the listeners. That sounds fun.
Okay. So ready for the first one?
Ready.
All right. So Trump was just elected couple weeks ago.
Wait, should we set this up where you just read the joke first and then I try to figure out what you inputted?
I'm just telling the joke here.
Oh, okay.
So we all know Trump.
Oh, did you see that? Did everyone see that?
That was, let me break, talk, right?
Fourth wall.
Okay, the fourth wall. Mm-hmm. So we all know Trump was elected a couple of weeks ago. So after he was elected, some liberal women went into full protest mode, shaving their heads, swearing off men, and refusing to have kids. But honestly, it just sounds like they've discovered being single in their 30s.
Wait, say it again.
After Trump was elected, some liberal women went into full protest mode, shaving their heads, swearing off men, and refusing to have kids. But honestly, it sounds like they've just discovered being single in their 30s.
What? I feel like they're mixing two jokes there. I think that, if I was going to write that joke, what would make it funny is the result of doing all that lib stuff makes you single. Not, I've discovered being single, and so I'm shaving my head, and what were the other things?
Swearing off men and refusing. These are things that women...
And shaving off their tits, right?
Women, they're saying that women are going crazy in their 30s.
And shaving off their tits.
And shaving off their tits.
Tetas. So the joke is, so you put in, you asked ChatGPT to write a joke about woke women in the post-Trump election, post-re-election of Trump, write a joke about woke women in their 30s?
No, ChatGPT came up with that. Do you want me to pull up what I put into ChatGPT for that?
Yeah. What did you write in? What was the question? Literally. Because that's so close to something that's funny, mm-hmm. is to like write a joke where, as a protest, these women who, you know, hopefully, I mean, I assume everyone on the planet is like a guy. I feel like guys have it so simple. Like our goal is like, try to be with a woman that you're attracted to. That's like the main goal. So if that's somewhat similar for women, what they've done by acting this way, by acting a fool, if you ask me, is pretty much eliminate their chances of finding a guy, because mm-hmm. most guys don't want a chick with a shaved head. Also, that you're announcing to the world, hey.
Or maybe that's what it's saying. Like, yeah, they're now going to be single in their 30s because they're doing this dumb stuff.
See, that's what, yeah, but it's like it didn't know how to discover the idea. All right, so what's the input?
So I put in, write a political joke that is poking fun at the woke left. The subject of the joke is about liberal women freaking out about Trump being elected for president. They are de-beautifying themselves by shaving their heads and boycotting having sex and giving birth and dating men.
Yeah. It sounds like you're actually discovering being a guy. No kids.
But boycotting having sex.
I mean, that part aside.
Okay.
Men are never going to boycott that.
All right. So that was one of the best ones.
All right. See, that's why we're safe.
I'm going to keep going. I'm going to go back to this next one. Mm-hmm. I have some jokes about DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, but oh, nice. ChatGPT kept messing up the facts, which kind of happens often. So should we go into that now, or we can go back?
Fuck yeah.
Okay, might as well.
Can't wait.
So it's about, I'll just read the joke. The jokes are factually incorrect.
Well,
and I couldn't get the bot to say it correctly.
Tell it in such a way that you're owning it as your joke and you're trying to get me to laugh because you think it's funny.
Oh gosh.
But because that's how a joke works. Okay. And do it into the microphone. Just a thought.
I know, I get it, but I can't.
Oh, read. There you are. Look at that. So much nicer.
These aren't funny, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to skip those ones because they're not funny. I wasn't planning on telling them. Okay.
Okay. I have a joke I wrote this week, and I think it's funnier than the ChatGPT one. That's a little one-liner. Success can be tallied in a lot of ways. One way, you can tell that you're successful. Success is being able to pop right in the shower after a poop gone wrong.
That's success?
Mm-hmm. Do you know how successful you feel like when a poop goes wrong and you get one wipe deep and you're like,
oh. Wait, what? Are you?
Like when you can tell it's going to eat up half the roll of toilet paper.
Oh, but you just, and that's, yes.
But you can just jump right in the shower. That's success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a win. That's a win.
Cling. That's me winking at the cling, cling. My William Montgomery winks.
Okay. Why did the teenager throw a gender reveal party? Because they wanted to blow everyone away with their news. And for once, it wasn't just the balloons popping under pressure.
What? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we're tapping into the AI just isn't funny.
Mm-hmm.
Google is kind of funny sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we can train the bot, though. I think I need to get a new account under the bomb with me. And mm-hmm. train this bot just to write jokes. And I think we can get it to do it. But we can only have it use it for the joke writing
thing. Right. You're thinking because you've asked it so many professional questions that it's treating you like a professional.
It's so messed up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
do you think that maybe we can
clear my history?
Do you think that it'll train to learn what we think is funny. Oh, I bet
it does. It learns over time. And I actually, here's a creepy thing. Uh-huh. I looked up. So under my ChatGPT, you can look up under your profile. It has a huge long summary all about me based off of everything I've spoken with it about. So it's we can create a new one under the email for Bomb With Me.
And it is going to think Bomb With Me is just a loony person, because mm-hmm. we are going to get it to think of.
I think that's what we should do. And this is stuff. Just for my account. So I think moving forward, we should, or that's mm-hmm. where my focus should be. Okay.
Maybe we should train it by writing some really dark, funny jokes and then tell ChatGPT, this is funny. This is why. Give it a little training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give it a little what for.
Or we can build it up with some of our favorite comedians. So that can mm-hmm. be some of like its inspiration. Oh,
use Bill Burr or a Bill Burr style or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
All right. Spirit Airlines went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. I saw that in the headlines. I guess their Spirit really took off without enough fuel to land. Another ChatGPT original.
All right, but that is okay. That is actually good. That's a good premise, because like everyone knows that Spirit is garbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess nothing is jumping to mind for why Spirit. Like the first thing I think is like, oh, the Spirit in the sky. You know, like mm-hmm. something dies, it's now the Spirit in the sky.
Yeah.
So that maybe you could use something there, but. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's nothing funny about an airline going out of business, babe. I can't believe you would try to make a joke about that.
Okay. I'm just going to go into these. I have two jokes based off of the Doge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Like they're factually incorrect, but I'm just going to read what ChatGPT gave me. One of Trump's top priorities as president-elect is cutting government waste. So he's created the Department of Government Efficiency, Doge, with Vivek and Elon in charge. So far, they've uncovered millions in 2023 spending on critical projects like teaching monkeys to gamble in Russia, funding drag shows in Ecuador, and answering the age-old question, do selfies make us happy? At this rate, next year's budget might finally prioritize American butterflies over England's.
Trying to highlight the mundacity of comparison of butterflies between continents, but that's that's such a muted version of humor.
It took away. I gave it like the facts, and I was like, make this funny, and it just messed everything up.
Well, there are a lot of people who think like the dog is on the canoe is funny, and it's like that. There's a difference between funny and cute, but some people out there, I have dated some people who. They're like, if a dog is sitting on the bow of a canoe, they think it's riotous.
Like, you've dated people like that?
I'm sorry. I am really sorry. I'm so happy you aren't like that. Hey, that's my line.
What about your face? I thought your face was really funny.
It is pretty funny.
When I walked in here. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect you to have been shaving. I thought you were in the bathroom shaving when I came in here. I was going to come in and clean up. And then I saw your face and I almost hit the floor.
Yeah.
Hysterical. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Pretty funny face you have.
Can you believe Wall Peanut Trimmer is one of our sponsors already? I can't believe just how successful this podcast is. Episode 2, I mean, some heavy hitters. Who's next? Q-tips?
I have a very burning question right now.
Oh, okay. All
right, so you're dating somebody and they start laughing at a dog on a canoe. How long before you cut it off or start ignoring them?
5 years.
No.
That one was 5 years.
That was the big one when you were living out in Harmony Hollow.
Yeah.
Out there.
Like of all of the things that are so important in a relationship, humor being one of them. But to be fair, when I met her, I was crazy. I
had, so was she.
She still is. I had spent a couple of seasons growing weed and living out in the woods and really being separated from society and doing DMT and, you know, thinking I was going to be a different person than... I mean, I'm just wrong. Like, here's... To me, like, I just think of what's wrong and then I point at it and I try to make it even a little worse than it is. And that's what's funny. And you know what? You don't have to... I don't have to be better than that.
So you guys are... Paint the picture for me when she's laughing at the dog on the canoe.
Oh, it's really easy. She's pointing and laughing.
Were you at an art gallery?
No, we were at a river.
Oh, it was an actual dog on a canoe. Mm-hmm. And she had never seen a dog on a canoe. Okay, we can move on.
Yeah.
It just hurts my heart when I hear these stories.
Okay. Yeah.
The bar was really low when I met
him. It hurt mine too.
It's okay. I really don't have room.
We gotta
not
pause.
Dated the best.
We have to pause right now. I think I lost the camera.
Oh, really? Did it? Oh. The cameras?
No telling how long that was. Let's see what happened.
Couldn't have been
plugged in
too long.
It just overheated because I've got the heat going.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? All right, we'll get a new camera. It's okay.
Huh?
It's okay.
No, it's not okay. I'm fucking pissed right now.
I know.
This is fucking dumb as hell. Goddamn GoPro sucks balls. Fucking suck. Yeah, it's just overheated. Turns on. It says, notice the GoPro is out of...
It's not overheated because this was on 80. We had the heat on 80 before.
Because it was too hot.
Okay. I don't get it. Because last time that was on 80. Now it's on 78. I don't know why it overheated this time and not last time.
I think it wasn't running last time.
Mm. That's okay. Let's finish.
We can't!
Look at the video. Okay.
Sorry. I'll stitch it together. Oh. I didn't stop recording. Good.
That's good. I'm glad.
I'll clip it. I'll have to clip it. But
this hang episode on, hang on,
hang
is.
On, hang on. And we're back.
This episode is not brought to you by GoPro.
Nor will the future episodes be. Oh my gosh. I bought that GoPro for. I mean, it overheats. When you're scuba diving.
It's an old one though, isn't it?
No, it's an 11. It's only like, I mean, when it was new, it overheated while constantly being cooled by 70 degree water. Well, 78 degree water.
Maybe I shouldn't get a GoPro then. I mean,
the new ones, they have to fix it. It's crazy. Like, yeah. You know, during adventures, So I bought the GoPro. I'm an adventure guy. I love snowboarding, scuba diving, getting into it, and pretty decent at both. Really decent at snowboarding. Fun stuff. In the cold of snowboarding, it does not overheat. In the cold of the ocean, which is I like diving at 77, 78 degrees Fahrenheit temperature. It overheats, and I cannot believe it. But that's just the way that it is. So if you're considering getting a GoPro, it's going to overheat on you halfway through and it's going to shut itself off. So anyway, where were we? What were we talking about when it cut out? ChatGPTs.
Your exes.
Oh, right. We were talking about me coming off of the ridge and being a crazy person. And so I met her when I was crazy and not when I was like, but it turns out, so here's the deal, guys. If you, a lot of people out there are using mushrooms, microdosing, using DMT, ketamine, all those things to try to find happiness. My advice, and this is the best advice you will ever get in your entire life. Don't make life decisions within 6 months of having a psychotropic, psychedelic experience. You are still who you are at the end of the day. I've been doing drugs a lot, a long time, I mean.
I've been doing them a lot lately.
I mean, wait. And what I learned is, yes, you get a new sense of yourself, a new perspective on the world, what you might think of as an understanding, and you're going to think you've changed. But at the end of the day, what I think I've found is change happens over time, gradually, and with continuous effort.
Consistent effort.
The fake it till you make it is more effective than taking a dump of DMT or a hero dose of mushrooms or acid. Those are temporary fixes. And it gives you, it does, I think, help lend to understanding, to forgiveness, to giving yourself a perspective that maybe wasn't there before, an understanding that, you know, the connectivity is real. But,
but you have to keep reminding yourself that over time, consistently, for that change to actually integrate into your life.
But don't make big life decisions on the tail end of a mushroom trip, because in 3 months, when you are back to who you are, and here's the deal, you are who you are. You can't get away from it. There is no fix. There is only continuous work. And my favorite, so my very favorite thing is fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it is saying what you want, telling the world thank you, expressing gratitude and happiness. Is the cat trying to get in?
Pearl's trying to enter.
Well, it's almost time to end it, but I think we should end it. This is actually a true, real note for ways to improve the quality of your life. And one of the best ways to do it is to actively be appreciative and say it out loud. And say it to yourself, say it to the world around you, say it to the person next to you. I love it here. I'm so happy that I get to do this and happy that I get to do it with you and with anyone watching or listening. And that every day, if you just say it every day, you actually grow the strength of that neuro response, the synaptic response that goes to happiness, and the one that goes to anger or sadness. Those are like muscles. Everything has a muscle memory, and in your brain, if you create peptides and send them to the happy synaptic response, that happy synaptic response becomes stronger. The muscle memory for the electrode or electron or whatever however the peptide transfer works does become stronger the more that you focus on that particular attitude or expression. So fake it till you make it is a tool. And I don't know, I feel like maybe it's, I don't know if anybody actually teaches it, but I will say for me personally, it works. And I, you know, so try it out.
The way I see it is our feelings are all temporary. They come and they go, But what is real are the blessings you have, the gifts you have, and you have to voice them out loud. You have to consciously give gratitude for those things. We have a heater in every single room of this house. We have portable heaters that you can take around everywhere. We have central heating. We're not getting cold. We can stay warm. That is a very basic thing that we take for granted.
Or granted. I take it for granted myself.
So if we just, these are the things that we can keep reminding and grounding ourselves on, so that as these feelings of happiness and sadness and anger, as they come and go, it doesn't really matter. They don't really affect you, because you're always remembered like, oh shit, I'm really lucky.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say that's a wrap. I love what you did there, because I heard you say, don't forget, all of this is temporary. We love you. Bye.
Bye.